Welcome to another exciting installment of Live Free Austin, living free on a daily basis, trying to create a libertarian oasis here
That's
in
right.
Central Texas.
A more free and prosperous society. We're here bringing you the news, views, and tools you can use to live a more free and prosperous life. My name is Jason Rink. This is John Bush.
Hello.
And as always, from 3 to 4 p.m. on Saturday here on 98.9. And, you know, living free is all about expanding personal liberty and getting out from underneath the thumb of government.
The thumb of big government.
That's right. Because we believe that government is typically, number one, it's one of the only entities that has the monopoly, you know, position on taking your liberty away. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest about that. There's very little that your neighbor can do to take your liberty away without using the heavy hand of government to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as his henchman. And so we want to expose where government's too big, where government is taking away our liberties, and where government is making the United States and, on a local level, the city of Austin a less free place to live, work, do business, mm-hmm. and mind our own business.
Yep. And this country, these United States, started off on the right track. Never before in the history of civilization have we come so close to a genuinely free society. So we want to chalk it up to the Founding Fathers for the Constitution, Declaration of Independence that they dropped for us. But unfortunately, we the people have dropped the ball along the way. Some would argue that there's some intrinsic problems with the Constitution or the very nature of government itself. So what we want to do on this program is explore those problems and on the other side, give you some tools that you can use in your life in order to live more freely. But we think in order to live more free, it takes this foundation of knowledge and an understanding about what individual liberty is all about. And that's what we've been bringing here on this show. Been rocking and rolling. Got several shows under our belt. Got a wonderful website, livefreeaustinradio.com. You can check out the podcast of our previous episodes. We got a lot to cover today. Of course, the WikiLeaks had a latest leak of some Department of State cables. We got some big government news coming at you. Too much government news. Yeah. And if we got some time, we're going to be chatting about 1913 and some wonderful legislation and laws that came out of that good old year that made us a lot more
That's
free.
Right.
Like the income tax.
Yeah. We got to party like it's 1913, baby.
Hey, you know, all your money.
I always want to keep it light. You know, I always think, you know, it could be funny. We can do some fun things. But sometimes the news that comes out is so heavy sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, terror and fear all over the news, mm-hmm. you know. And this WikiLeaks, you know, issue is really a defining issue of our time, because what we're seeing is how the internet has freed the flow of information. And at the same time, you know, it's very difficult to know what's true and what's not. What we're getting from the mainstream media, what's true and what's not. Sifting through fact from fiction and spin. And
well, remember, if you got it on Facebook, then it's got
to
be true.
That's right. If it's that's where we like to start. As we say, look, if it's on Facebook, it's true.
That's true. All right?
That's our first fact check. And then if it's on Facebook, but then it's appeared on MSNBC, it's not true. Mm. But then if it appears on Fox News, it is true. It's getting all very confusing. There's a formula.
And then no, we throw Glenn Beck in the mix. What's going on with that guy?
Yeah. It's so. But the idea here is that as consumers of news and information, we've got to really ask ourselves, you know, what's going on?
Who benefits?
Who benefits? You know, why? And really, at the heart of this issue, it's an issue of government transparency.
Mm-hmm. And trust, too.
Because, you know, just like in a relationship, if in a marriage, if your spouse lies to you over and over and over again about something, at some point in time, you stop believing them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a process by which they restore their trust, mm-hmm. you know, by doing what? By telling the truth.
By going through your Facebook account.
Yeah, right. So
and leaking all of your messages yeah. to your ex-girlfriends.
Well, and so that's kind of what's happened here is over the last, you know, 50 years, we've seen that the American people have begun to trust their government less and less and less.
With until, good reason.
You know, right now we're at a point where the government has, you know, historic low levels of credibility with mm-hmm. the average American.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Well, it's because we keep getting lied to,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's in campaign promises that are unfulfilled. In the case of Barack Obama, there's a boatload of them. You know, whether
don't talk about our president like that.
Well, and, you know, whether it's just, you know, our local government officials,
oh, yeah.
you know, leading us astray.
The internet you speak of is really the X factor, because never before in history did we have access to such information at the tip of our fingers in such an easy, searchable manner. So, you know, back in the day, you would hear the politician give you his diatribe and feed you his BS, and there would be no way to really double check it or to fact check it or to see his record so easily accessible right there for you, or to see all of his speeches recorded and up on YouTube for you to go back and say, now hold on, you know, back in, you know, 3 years ago, we saw a clip of you saying the exact opposite of what you just done. So really provides a wonderful opportunity for politicians to be held accountable.
Well, and what we're seeing going on in this country and really globally now is there's not only a political revolution happening with the sort of awakening of the Tea Party movement and the disenfranchisement with the left and the right, with the Republicans and the Democrats, but there's also a revolution of information going on at the same time. And so what you've just pointed out here is that at a time when the American people are looking for authenticity and truth and transparency in an unprecedented way, there's also the technology available to be able to provide that and to be able to, yeah, and to be able to check the record, so to speak.
That's right.
So, you know, this is a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be able to be fighting to restore our republic and be fighting to retain the liberties, the what few that we still have, and beat back the, you know, the claws of government. Yep. So,
time to make history.
What do you think, John, about the WikiLeaks issue? What do you think about these cables? What are some of the more significant things that you think have come out?
Yeah, well, one thing I saw, of course, I'm always skeptical about a lot of all of this stuff, and we could chat about that here in a second, but one of the ones that really caught my eye is there seems to, and now it's being picked up by a lot of the mainstream media sources, and there's a lot of articles and headlines, but a lot of people are now pointing to there's Middle Eastern countries that are begging the United States to attack Iran and to attack their nuclear interests. So really what these leaks have put off is that there's a consensus, so to speak, about the danger and the threat of Iran. So one of these cables, of course, was about King Ahmed pointed to Iran as the source of much of trouble in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He argued forcefully for taking action to terminate their nuclear program by whatever means necessary. That program must be stopped, he said. The danger of letting it go is greater than the danger of stopping it. And then he also went on to say that we need to cut off the head of the snake. So we have King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia and King Hamad all basically, you know, throwing the blame at Iran. And of course, we know that the United States has an itchy trigger finger. And of course, we have Israel there, which a lot of people failed to mention. It was Israel, you know, there wasn't very many news leaked in these cables about Israel. Of course, we know they commit a lot of atrocities, especially going on there in the Gaza Strip. But basically what we're seeing that news source, the news headlines now pick up is like, well, you know what? Everybody else agrees, along with President Barack Obama, along with George W. Bush, that Iran is a threat. And if they continue this program, even though they're acting in accordance with Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT, unlike the infallible state of Israel, I think that they're really trying to message towards that way, and hopefully this doesn't add fuel to the fire.
Well, and the war drum has been, it's been being beaten for a long time. I mean, even in the 2008 election cycle, that's where the Iran drum was being beat. You know, hey, what about the nuclear option when it comes to Iran?
Nobody
you know?
Took it off the table, Hillary or Barack. There's speeches of them speaking before AIPAC, which is one of the most powerful
and look,
lobbies. And
We're going to sit here and say, look, none of these nations are pure as the driven snow, people. I mean, you know, Israel, the United States, we've all committed, you know, all nations and all leaders have committed their shares of
USS Liberty.
Of mistakes and different things. And listen, it's the citizens. We're the ones who are in the dangerous position here, because nations go at war with nations. And yet the citizens of those nations are not necessarily at war. We're not at war with each other.
Mm-mm.
It's our leaders that get into wars with each other. They tax us to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
They destroy, you know, our nations, our infrastructures, these sorts of things. They put us in debt now.
Sometimes they attack their own interests in order to drive us into that war.
Well, and you know, that's being talked about even now. I mean, a guy like Glenn Beck even brings up that, you know, he says, hey, Barack Obama needs some sort of crisis, you know, to save his presidency. And they always reference that Rahm Emanuel quote, never let a crisis go to waste.
Sure.
So we're surrounded by these crises And the question is what's really going on and who's really benefiting here? And
we
so
don't know. The people sure as heck aren't benefiting.
No.
None of them. There's one, something, it was on a YouTube video I saw, and they pointed out that, you know, the American soldier has more in common with the Iraqi insurgent or the Afghan, you know, freedom fighter insurgent than they do with their commanding officers or with their United States senator or with the president for that matter, yet they're pitted against each other.
Right. And
unfortunately, you know, this WikiLeaks thing, a lot of people think it's a wonderful step for transparency. On the other side of the table, people are think we're leaking national security and we're putting our soldiers at risk. I would argue back that it's not this information that's putting the soldiers at risk. It's United States foreign policy that's putting the soldiers at risk, not only by putting them over there directly at risk in a war zone, but also by doing a lot in order to encourage these war zones and in order to encourage the type of blowback that we're seeing right now. I think we all need to step back and take a deep, hard look at exactly what role our foreign policy in the past has played in a lot of the incursions and the fighting that's going on right now.
Well, and I believe that in these leaks, it also came out that Saudi Arabia may be involved in financing Al-Qaeda, which we need to also remember that we just brokered an arms deal with Saudi Arabia. So, and again, you know, it wasn't too many decades ago. It was 30, 40 years ago when we were training and funding the freedom fighters in Afghanistan when we had a common enemy, the Soviet Union.
That's right.
So it's sort of this constant changing of sides, of alliances, of supporting these people and then these people. And, you know, it's very conceivable that our soldiers are actually in the Middle East facing down soldiers, you know, on the opposing side that our military has trained, that we have funded them in times past and provided weapons.
That's right.
So how strange of a bizarre universe is this when that's the case?
That's right.
And it makes a good case for having a non-interventionist foreign policy that is more in line with the non-aggression principle.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in line actually with what George W. Bush said in 2000.
In 2000. It was a different world back then.
That's right.
Jason.
No nation building.
World.
Don't police the world. We need to really reconsider that.
Yep. All good stuff. Okay, well, this is a great conversation, chatting about WikiLeaks. We're coming up on a break. We're going to pick up this conversation, finish it up, also talk about what recently happened in Portland, Oregon with the FBI setting up a young man who almost went and pulled the trigger on that. There's a lot of fishy things going around that. We want to chat about that. And, of course, we've got too much government news coming up. So stick around, folks. This is Jason Rink, John Bush on Live Free Austin every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. We'll be right back.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9, The Big Talker, rocking and rolling, moving and grooving. Jason Rink, John Bush, chatting about the WikiLeaks, latest leak, the fiasco. And, you know, a big question about transparency of government comes up, and a lot of people may think that what we're pushing is un-American. There's been a lot of debates going on right now about how this is threatening our national security and our overseas. It's threatening the war on terror. But as we pointed out before, you know, there's not a lot of trust in the current system. And I would make a very strong argument that the United States government incorporated, especially our foreign policy in the United States military, is not acting in the best interest of you or I, Jason, or any other American for that matter, and they haven't been for quite some time.
And that's the real issue here, is we have a reason to distrust. We have a reason. I mean, was the government working for you when they passed the bailout of Wall Street?
$13.7 trillion.
That's what it is now. Was the government working for you when they passed Obamacare? Is the government working for you now that they're trying to pass this agricultural bill that's going to concentrate power to Big Agra, Monsanto, these other organizations?
And cap and trade, carbon tax, all that
stuff. Is the government working for you? You know, because they are the employee and we're the employer. Well, it doesn't feel like it. And so when we see all of these other areas where they drive us into debt, where they operate against the public sentiment in passing legislation we don't agree with, what we have to do is we have to say, well, now on the issue of foreign policy, Well, the government is operating in our best interest.
Mm-hmm. It's like a no-no spot. No, yeah, you can't go there.
They're exempt there. That's where our government is, these altruistic, wonderful people. And so there's a quote by Congressman Ron Paul I love. He says, "Truth is treason in an empire of lies." And what that is all about is, look, when we are getting lie after lie from the empire, you know, truth comes out. It exposes that the emperor has no clothes. And all that the state can do at that point mm-hmm. is point to the one who's exposing and say, that's treason.
Mm-hmm.
But the real treason is when the United States government, or any government for that matter, you know, takes power away from the people that the people did not give to it, when we have not given our consent.
Mm-hmm. I say, I mean, the multiple foreign wars of aggression that are illegal, undeclared, unconstitutional wars, if you ask me, that's treason. Not only lying us into those wars is even more treasonous, and so many people are scared out of their wits that they're not willing to sit back, take a deep breath, and realize that. And, you know, another thing, it's so obvious that these wars aren't in our best interest, because in order to get us involved with them, very often there has to be some sort of Gulf of Tonkin-style attack that in many instances it's been shown that there's been U.S. government involvement in. But we'll save that for another show.
Uh-oh, you're going off the rails, Bush.
A closing thought on these WikiLeaks thing is, on this show, we subscribe to the philosophy of question everything. My girlfriend has it tatted on her arm, question everything. So just wanted to be clear that, you know, on the show, you know, Live Free Austin, we're even speculative of Assange and WikiLeaks as a whole. It's very possible that this could be some sort of a psyop. It's been done in the past where the United States or other foreign interests go out and put out disinformation purposefully. It's called psyops, psychological operations the U.S. military uses from overseas. And I just want to point to a quote. You know, the question is, well, then who benefits? And as we spoke of before, a lot of this Iran war drumbeating's going on. But here's a quote from the ex-prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. He says, and this is about the WikiLeaks, "Israel has not been damaged at all by the WikiLeaks publication," the prime minister told a group of editors in Tel Aviv. "The documents show many sources backing Israel's assessments, particularly of Iran." So just be aware, everybody out there, that it may not always be as it appears, and there are individuals that are gaining interest and benefiting from a lot of this stuff that's going out there. So just be aware of that, ladies and gentlemen. That's out on the blogosphere. There's actually Veterans Today wrote an article that toes that specific line right there, where they think that this might be some funny business, could go to benefit Israel or to discredit the United States. It could even be some sort of psyop being carried out on the United States by foreign interests. Who knows who Assange is working for, but we'll be covering that. I'm sure it's not going to go away. They still have plenty more leaks to go over. But now we wanted to chat about some other news that's somewhat related, as it's yet another instance of further justifying this war on terror. And that was just recently in Portland, Oregon. There was a young man who was set up by the FBI. Basically, they found communications of this guy who was talking a lot of smack about the U.S., who was indicating that he could potentially be capable of carrying out violence against the United States. Now, let's be clear, of course, that's a very terrible thing, and we do not condone that type of activity in the least bit, but I'm willing to guess that there's a lot of nuts out there in the United States that are capable or willing, I'm sorry, they're willing to carry out violence, but they're not capable of it. So what we have that happened here was the FBI went along with this young punk idiot kid who, like I said, was probably nowhere capable or even close to coming up with some sort of bomb, and the FBI went and they built a bomb for him. And they basically held his hand all the way along until he actually got to the point where they made sure that he was capable of pushing the button. And he did push the button. Of course, the bomb wasn't real. But local authorities, the local police department, they're all coming out in opposition to the FBI and their tactics, because what I think it is just further solidifying, you know, they needed another underwear bomber. They needed another shoe bomber, because the people are starting to, the fear is starting to wear out, so they need to keep us in this constant reactionary paradigm. What do you think about that, Ring?
Well, and you bring up a good point. It's like, if somebody's, you know, has malicious intent towards the United States or towards an individual or whatever, the question is, can they actually do anything about that? And I mean, there's probably no shortage of people out there who either want to talk big or are mentally challenged,
mm-hmm.
who are going to make statements like, you know, I'm going to bomb, you know, this place, or I'm going to do this or whatever. But they have absolutely no way of making that happen. I mean, listen, you know, I wouldn't even know how to go about that kind of thing. I mean, I have no desire to commit any kind of violence. I subscribe to the non-aggression principle. But, you know, finding, bombs and finding a way to actually pull off a terrorist activity, I think is probably a pretty difficult process to go through. I mean, really. And so we got a guy here who wouldn't even be close to it if it weren't for the FBI sort of, you know, holding him by the hand. And the question is I've heard people say, well, you know, they've got that's building a case. Well, some other people call that entrapment.
Sure.
And again, it's what the question we have here is who benefits? Mm-hmm. You know, this comes on the heels of America being in an outrage about the TSA, about what's going on there. And the thing is that as long as we're in a state of fear, when we're in a state of fear, we'll surrender our liberty for safety.
Mm-hmm. Willfully, willingly.
And Ben Franklin said it best, where he says, those who will trade their liberty for some temporary safety deserve neither.
Yep. As soon as I heard about this story, it reminded me instantly of the World Trade Center bombing, the original one in 1993. And I'm going to let you guys, listeners, do the research on this for yourself. But if you dig enough, you will find that, in fact, the FBI cooked that bomb, held the hands of the guys that detonated the bomb, and this time it actually went off, and it's been declassified now. There's been some recordings from some of the agents, and it actually shows that they were aware that this was going to happen, and in some instances even helped it to happen. So I know that sounds far-fetched and everything. That's why I'm encouraging you to go ahead and do the research on your own. You'll find those documents if you simply Google FBI involvement, World Trade Center bomb.
But John, it's really not that far-fetched. The only real difference is the fact that the FBI has gotten a little smarter and said, well, maybe we shouldn't provide a real bomb this time. We'll provide fake bombs. But the question is why? Is this really necessary? And again, I think it's to trump up the fear in the American people so that we'll just sort of get back in line. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to the credibility and transparency of government. And when you start to look at these things, you start to realize that, you know, our government doesn't deserve our trust. And the founders said this from the beginning. They said, look, we're going to put some power in the hands of a federal government, but the capacity is there for that government to become as tyrannical, even more so, than the tyranny we just left from Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And we've got to watch these people like a hawk. And so, you know, that it's shame on us because it's gotten to this place, but now we've got to hold their feet to the fire. And we cannot let anything go by unexamined. Mm-hmm. We can't just swallow the party line and the official story on some of these things. We need to look deeper.
That's right.
Fortunately, we've got the internet. We can go out there. We can compare sources. And again, you know, not everything's true out there.
You got to question it all for yourself. Do your own research. Look into the facts on your own. Don't trust the mainstream media. Don't trust Fox News. We mentioned earlier that Saudi Arabian individuals have been the primary financiers of Sunni al-Qaeda-style terrorism. And the sad part is, you may think that you're going to hear that on Fox News, but if you dig deep enough, you'll find that Prince Al-Talawid, one of the Saudi princes, actually owns like 11% of Fox News. So you got to be aware of all that stuff.
John, you're exaggerating there. 9%.
9%. Okay, I'm sorry. Only about 10% of the Fox News. So be aware and always look where the money's coming from. Question everything. Question me and Jason.
That's right. Hey, you know, we don't have the corner on the market of truth, but we're pursuing it. And we're trying to bring genuine information here that you're not going to hear elsewhere. But, you know, on a lighter note, is there a lighter note when it comes to too much government news?
Too much government news. And we're going to have to get to that too much government news after this next break. So if you guys want to join the conversation and challenge any of the stuff that we brought up today, check out our Facebook page. You can just go to Facebook and search Live Free Austin, or check us out on Live Free Austin Radio as well. But we're going to take a break real quick. And on the other side, we're going to chat about too much government news. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Jason Rink and John Bush here. Live Free Austin. Check us out at livefreeaustinradio.com and here 3 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays every week. We do want to mention, we do have some sponsors. The Foundation for a Free Society, it's a nonprofit educational organization that helps make this show possible. Check it out at myfreesociety.com. We also have some other sponsors. Check out the links on the website, Shentrition. It's a great nutrition drink. I know John's looking fit as a fiddle these days ever since he's been taking it. So
yeah, I've been munching. It actually gives you a nice little boost, feel more energetic, feel less groggy. So it's really a great
and
little supplement.
Your mustache is growing in.
Got a great thicker. Mustache growing in.
But we're going to talk about too much government news. And like I said,
too much government news. Yeah.
You would think we would have difficulty every week having a segment called Too Much Government News. You would think that one week we'd be like, hey, we could not find an article about the government being too big. But here it is yet again. We dug deep.
We dug deep. It was very difficult to find this one, folks.
And listen to this. This is kind of related to our show last week. We had a great guest last week. Check out the podcast, livefreeaustinradio.com. We had Jack Spierko from the survivalpodcast.com. And we were talking about Senate Bill 510, which was an agricultural bill that I believe the Senate has passed it. And so it's moving down the line. And
chucking along.
You know, we get into this whole thing of individual and personal rights when it comes to agriculture. And so Steve Miller, no relation to the band, Steve Miller operates a farm. Apparently, his farm was too big for his neighborhood zoning laws.
That terrorist.
On more than 24 acres, he has more than 24 vegetables, growing crops for more than 15 years. And it says this is out of Clarkston, Georgia. Stephen Miller, an American farmer, has been fined $5,000 for growing vegetables on his own farmland. Steve Miller says he has been growing broccoli, cabbages, and other crops for 15 years. He says he sells some produce at farmers markets and gives some away.
It's crazy.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad they finally got this guy. This guy has been at this for 15 years, right under the noses of our government.
He's given food out in his community. I mean, who knows what these food, they got cyanide, they could have cyanide, they could have anthrax in them.
Yeah. Well, and apparently for 15 years, they've been building a case against this guy till it would be strong enough that they could fine him $5,000 for growing crops.
That's a lot of money.
That is, actually.
That's enough to put you out of business.
Especially when you consider that, you know, I mean, this guy, it's not like this guy is farming, you know, 5,000 acres of land. I mean, it's, you know, he's got a couple.
2 acres. He'll raise beds probably in his backyard.
Yeah, right. So, you know, $5,000 is a big deal. And again, what's the harm here? What's the reason? What's going on?
We know with the FDA, a lot of their regulations benefit big pharma, big agri. Monsanto, they shut out the local farmers market. They shut out the smaller firm, the family-owned farm, for centralization and to weed out competition. However, in this instance, it very well may be this whole NIMBY push, not in my backyard, which we see happening a lot here in the city of Austin, whereby neighborhood associations get all yuppied out and they think, oh, I got this wonderful position. I'm on the neighborhood association. I'm the president. I got a complaint from the town jerk, you know, that's anal about everything, and they probably go to the city council and say, we don't want this in our backyards. Look how much there's commerce going on in our community, you know. So I think this is probably just some people that are a little anal retentive, going after and using the government to kind of ease their minds. Well, but they're just, it's damaging. It's damaging for the moral fabric of America.
And let's talk about a couple of things. Number one, you know, we support localism. We support the fact that neighborhoods can get together and they can make up, you know, their own standards and ordinances for their neighborhoods and things. But, you know, again, when it comes to liberty, these things have consequences. And this is somewhat related, but I live in a neighborhood right now. I'm renting a house. And I received a message that my garbage cans cannot be brought out in public view until 8 p.m. the night before the garbage is picked up. And they can only be out there to a maximum of 8 p.m. the following day. So a 24-hour window. I can be fined if they are not removed and out of public view.
Wow, what's the fine?
I don't know what the fine is. I don't want to find out. But I sit here and I look at that and I say, you know what? This is a reason that I would not want to own a piece of property in this neighborhood. I wouldn't want to buy a house here. Why? Because when I buy a piece of property, I would like to be able to do what I want to do with that. And, you know, I'm not necessarily looking to put a car with no tires up on cinder blocks in the front yard. But to a certain degree, we're getting to this place, I think, where it's kind of like, it's just sort of a, it's like these nosy neighbor sort of nitpicky stuff where it's like, no, you can't do certain things on your own land and on your own property because it's going to offend the aesthetic sensibilities of your neighbor, right?
Yep.
And, but again, it's got consequences because You create these types of regulations, and you do drive people out of those neighborhoods.
Sure.
And you know what? Maybe that's okay, because we are supposed to be able to find communities where we want to live in. But at the same time, this type of stuff just really gets under my skin.
Well, this one, and again, that's why we promote decentralization. It's a wonderful libertarian tenet in that in a city, I grew up in Austin my whole life. I don't want to leave Austin. I really like Austin. My family's here. And I'm okay with these different neighborhood ordinances. For example, I just went to our latest homeowners association meeting, and there was something on the agenda to potentially ban placing. They were going to force everybody to put the trash cans in the garages, which, you know, we live in Texas here, and it gets really hot. If you got some old food in there, it could get stinky. There could be rodents getting to it. People like to put it on the side of the house, but because one person, and I think I know who it was, the naggy lady at the meeting, hopefully she's not listening, but because of one person, they were going to try to force us to do that. Thankfully, John Bush was on the scene with wonderful politicking, and we managed to allow you to place it on the side of your house as long as it's be behind the air conditioning unit. But we stopped something happening from that. But the joy is you find this community that has rules or regulations, people that fit in with your particular beliefs and how you would like your neighborhood to look aesthetically, safe, whatever it be. But whenever you have it at the city level, then you have a larger geographic monopoly. And whenever you push these types of controls that should be more localized, then you limit the choice of the Austinites in this particular instance here in the city of moving to a community that fits their needs. And then, you know, when they do stuff like that at the federal level, which we're kind of tinkering on with the Senate Bill 510, then it's even less choice, more tyranny.
Well, and I do want to mention something. I do want to mention that this is an example, however, of getting active in a real way at a local level, because it doesn't get much more local than your neighborhood community organization, you know, your homeowners association. And you know, we can complain about things. Let's just understand something. We complain our heads off about stuff at the federal level and it doesn't change a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you got to write off the federal level to a certain degree, but you're
I say write it off entirely. Well, they don't care what you have to
say. But you're a radical. But here, we can change things in our local neighborhoods.
We have changed things.
We can change things at a city level.
That's right.
We can change things at the local level. And listen, that's where it begins, and that's what affects us the most. So take this as an example. If there is some sort of policy that you don't like in your homeowners association, take action. Do something
Become
to change
it
and get involved to make sure more asinine policies don't get, you know, because next thing you know, you might get fined $5,000 for growing crops in your backyard.
That's right. Yep. I just stepped up. I'm now the Neighborhood Watch chairman of the
Congratulations, John.
Senate Hills neighborhood. And additionally, we're going to be starting a community garden in our neighborhood. So it's a wonderful opportunity to grow community, to exercise the philosophy of liberty. And like the Foundation for a Free Society, one of our sponsors, we're trying, and just like the show, we're trying to provide tools that you can use. So this is a wonderful opportunity for you to get out, get involved, meet your neighbor, and build community. Here's a couple other opportunities that you have to get out and get involved. Nice little segue there. Of course, I'm also executive director of Texans for Accountable Government, tagtexas.org. It's a local transpartisan political action committee. And I just wanted to fill you guys in on a couple events that are coming up that we're going to be out at in full force. So there's going to be a citizens review panel meeting coming up. This is with the Austin Police Department, and it's going to be an opportunity to sit down with APD and go over their use of force policy. So we see a very terrifying trend occurring all across the country. It happened in the late 90s with a lot of racial abuse. Now it's happening all across the board with tasers, with police officers just out of control. They're trying to ban recording police officers in certain states. Thankfully, in Austin, our police force, comparatively relative to other cities, is a little friendlier. However, that's not to say that they're saints in the least bit. Of course, there's been a lot of controversy in the past coming from APD and their use of force, especially with minorities. We're actually being investigated by the Department of Justice. So you'll have a wonderful opportunity Monday, December 6th at 6 p.m., Monday, December 6th at 6 p.m. at City Hall in the Council Chambers, there's going to be a citizens review panel meeting to discuss the use of force policy. Texans for Accountable Government will be there. I'll be there. We'll drag Rink out there, and it's going to be a good time, and we'll have our voices heard, and we can show Austin Police Department that we won't stand for any police use of force, especially if it's going to be in equally pushed against minorities. Another event, of course, all the TSA, big chicanery going on, Texans for Accountable Government, some other groups. We Are Change Austin. We're out at the National Opt-Out Day protest. We got mainstream news coverage from a lot of the major news outlets. We got the message out. A lot of people drove by and showed their support. Nationally, the opt-out day was a major success because, contrary to what the media is going to tell you, people actually opted out of flying, which was the original goal. And it was something like 94% of travelers this Thanksgiving decided to go by vehicle as opposed to plane. That's up 12 to 13% from last year. So National Opt-Out Day was a great success. We're going to be doing another rally on December 18th. And this time we're actually going to be inside of the airport passing out flyers. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to reach a lot of people on some really important issues. And what we're trying to do here in Austin, as you know, Austin-Bergstrom International Airport does not have a body scanner. We do not do those invasive pat-downs if you refuse a body scanner because there's not one. The only reason why there isn't one yet is because the second story where they do the screenings, it isn't structurally capable of holding the body scanner, but they want one. TSA is trying to push one down our throats. So we're encouraging you to call your city council. Check out tagtexas.org for more information on that. And finally, Texans for Accountable Government will be celebrating the Christmas season. We're going to be having a holiday party. I guess that's the PC way of saying it, party, not a Christmas party, on Monday, December 27th, at Bagpipes Pub and Brewery on the southwest corner of Burnett and 183. December 27th at 7 p.m., Texans for Accountable Government will be partying hard. This is going to be our third annual holiday party, Christmas party. We always have a real good time. People bring their family and friends. We get boozed out. There'll be a silent auction. And it should be a good time for all. So
yeah, sounds good, man. Sounds real good.
Enjoy it. Join the community. Get involved in your community. Get involved in your neighborhood. Get involved politically. Question everything. Listen to the show every single Saturday. We're having a good time here. This is Jason Rink. John Bush coming up on a break. We'll be back on the other side with our final segment. And we're going to chat about the wonderful libertarian year, 1913. And all the good things that came out of that
1913
year.
Was a good year for the state.
We'll be right back, folks.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back. Live Free Austin Radio every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9 The Big Talker. You can also check out our podcasts at livefreeaustinradio.com. Want to give a quick shout out to Brave New Books, bravenewbookstore.com. We want to help them, thank them for making this possible. You can check them out here in Austin, 1904 Guadalupe Street, just on the southern tip of the drag. They got all your great suppressed books, lots of DVDs, wonderful events that they hold there. So we want to thank them as well. We also want to thank DontTreadOnCat.com. DontTreadOnCat.com. You can get all the latest news from the activists' fight, the freedom movement. A bunch of wonderful articles, a bunch of custom content. Check them out. And then again, of course, Foundation for a Free Society, myfreesociety.org. And be sure to get your Centrition. You can follow the link at the website, livefreeaustinradio.com, to order there and help support not only the show, but a wonderful patriot that's putting out some wonderful health products. So for the last segment of the show, we wanted to talk about three specific pieces of legislation that came through and a couple constitutional amendments, actually, in the dreaded year of 1913 when Woodrow Wilson was president, who good old Glenn Beck labels as the big progressive, evil guy. But a lot of these policies didn't necessarily come from progressivism, and some of them even existed throughout history before the progressive era. So I think it's something a little more than progressivism. I like to call it collectivism, because that fits in with your neoconservatism, your environmentalism, and all sorts of other stuff that old Glenn seems to brush over. But the first thing that happened in 19, of course, was the 16th Amendment, which brought us the dreaded income tax.
Dun, dun, dun.
And is this a part of the Marxist plank? Is this a Marxist program?
Heavy graduated income tax is actually a plank of the Communist Manifesto.
Right here in the great United States of America.
That's right. In fact, if you read, I've got the Communist Manifesto in the backseat of my car right now, actually. And every once in a while, I'm like, I bet that looks really strange. When he looks in my window, they're like, "This is a commie.
Let's get him."
Yeah. So I'm not, but I have read it, and I like to brush up on it because, you know, these things are being implemented in this nation, have been implemented. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is 1913. This is almost 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And these things started getting put in place. And so heavy graduated income tax. The income tax was not what it is today back then when it began.
No, it wasn't. It was supposed to be. Well, it started off as voluntary. And if you actually read the code, you would find, I don't know if this is kosher for mainstream radio, but the income tax actually is still voluntary. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the code that actually requires you to pay it. Not only that, the Supreme Court has actually found that income actually means gains on corporate profits, not right. necessarily wages, because a wage, as we libertarians know, is an even exchange of your labor for money. There's no gain, therefore there's no income. Additionally, perhaps most controversial of all, is actually in 1913, the 16th Amendment, when you look into it, was never actually properly ratified by the necessary number of states. There's a guy named Bill Benson who wrote a book, The Law That Never Was. You can check out thelawthatneverwas.com, and you would find that the entire income tax, the 16th Amendment, is a fraud.
But, you know, it doesn't really matter because government has the force to make you pay the voluntary income tax. And, you know, if you decide not to pay it, well, they'll give you a long time to think about that in a federal prison, mm-hmm. Right alongside Irwin Schiff.
Wesley Snipes.
And Wesley Snipes. But if you want to get out of paying your income taxes, the best thing to do is run for Congress.
That's good. That's
right?
Good.
Become a member of Congress. You will get a light tap on the wrist, slap on the wrist. And you'll be able to shelter all of your income in a lot of offshore accounts and things designed to do exactly that. So,
or do like the tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, and Ford Foundation. They got billions and billions just sitting there untaxed.
Well, and the one last thing on the 16th Amendment, the income tax, and you know, again, the income tax began as something, I believe it was going to be a tax on predominantly the rich. It was a very small amount. I believe it was 1%. I could be corrected on that possibly, but it was very small. And as most things happened in government, it grew in size as far as percentage, grew in size as far as who would have to pay it. Mm-hmm. And that's why many of us are very wary of these other tax schemes like the fair tax and the flat tax, where they say, well, it's going to be this and we'll get rid of the income tax, because we are always very hesitant in embracing a taxation scheme. Mm-hmm. Because again, on transparency and trust in government, we see what's happened in the past where, you know, in a moment of crisis or an emergency, they could bring back that other form of taxation or mm-hmm. expand that existing form of taxation so that it becomes worse than the thing you got rid of to begin with.
And taxation stuff. One more note on that one. It shows that we're no longer living in a voluntary government. I no longer feel that the federal government's operating in my best interest or the best interest of my family and friends. And unfortunately, if you wish to withdraw consent in that manner by not paying the income tax, they do bring the heavy hand. Although there are millions and millions of Americans that aren't paying for one reason or the other, just be aware of that. But to kind of segue into the next issue, which is the 17th Amendment, what the 16th Amendment, the income tax, did was give the federal government one of its first lines of revenue that was not derived from the states. The way that it worked before was the people paid money to the states for the various taxes, and then the states kicked it up to the federal government to then be allocated back. Now, what we see that happened with the 17th Amendment, which many Americans are unfamiliar with, but it really dramatically altered the way that our country works and our system of federalism, is the 17th Amendment now was, and before the 17th Amendment, the senators were chosen by the state representatives. and they were supposed to be representatives and agents of the state, the specific states.
Yeah, that's right. And the 17th Amendment took that power away from the state legislature. And again, why was it there? Because that state legislature was close to the people. Mm-hmm. The people had control and influence over the state legislature. And so the senators were sent off to Washington to do the bidding of the states. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't do it, guess what? They could pull them out of there.
Them. Yep.
And so, but being that we are a wonderful democracy, right? That's what the founders set up. Right? Oh, no, wait, they set up a republic.
That's right.
But under the guise of democracy, you know, popular elections. We love popular elections, don't
Sounds
we?
Sounds like a great plan.
It's just like American Idol. And so back in 1913, they removed the power of electing these U.S. senators from the states, really, and mm-hmm. now it became a popular election. And what mm-hmm. happens? Now all of the federal or all the national special interest money pours into these senatorial races. Why? Because it's 100 people that are elected that serve in Washington.
For 6 years, right?
Right, exactly. So what people miss is that this was a huge concentration of power in the hands of a relatively small number of people, when before that concentration of power was spread across the base of the citizens in the states. And again, this is an issue on decentralization and yep. states' rights. And so when we look and say, why has government, the federal government, gotten so big and out of bounds and it doesn't represent us anymore? Well, one of the reasons is because of the 17th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue isn't about the people not being, you know, I think some people think, well, we need a popular election because that represents the people more. Mm-hmm. No, it actually doesn't. It doesn't, because we lack the power and influence over these elections now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
over those two people for each mm-hmm. state. We got a big state here in Texas, and Senator John Cornyn and Kay Bailey Hutchison, the only times I've called them was to not vote on the bailout and a couple other things, and they always voted the opposite, and it's unfortunate. Yeah, and it was supposed to be the House of Representatives was the people's house, and we directly represent those representatives, and it's a smaller proportion, and the Senate was supposed to be representing the states and their interests, and I can guarantee you that we wouldn't have gone this far. Our federal government would have expanded that much without this 17th Amendment. Now, Rink, maybe you can introduce the next big tyrannical plot to happen in 1913. I know you're a big fan of this particular institution.
That's right, and it's the Federal Reserve Act. Yes, yes. And so what you have here is, this is sort of the cherry on top, where there had been, you know, centralized banking had been toyed with ever since the founding of this country, and mm-hmm. and it had, you know, had, you know, moderate success in that it had never been able to just sort of be implemented permanently. Mm-hmm. The central banks got shut down and they weren't as powerful, but the Federal Reserve Act is what really established the final centralized banking system in the United States, the Federal Reserve that we have now. And the Federal Reserve Act was written in secret mm-hmm. by special interests. All of the big banks were represented. It was crafted in line with what they wanted, which was to establish a cartel over the control of the money supply. This is history. Mm-hmm. This is not fiction.
And it was another one of those things that they did supposedly in our best interest.
Yeah, and it's actually the bankers actually lobbied against the bill to be like, oh, we don't want this, but they actually wrote it. And that type of thing still happens today, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You got Big Pharma coming out against the healthcare yep. bill, right? They oh, no. It. But the Federal Reserve Act is really the last thing that happened. It controlled it centralized control of the money supply. Inflation and deflation can now be done very easily. A lot of ramifications to that. And with the 16th and 17th Amendment, this was a huge federal power grab.
Coup d'etat.
It was. And so 1913 was a bad year.
Pivotal.
For the Republic. And I encourage you to go check out some different, we'll post some resources up at livefreeaustinradio.com to check out on some of these issues. You mm-hmm. can get yourself a little bit more informed on it. You know what? We want to thank you for joining us today. This is Jason Rink and John Bush, Live Free Austin. Hey, if you've enjoyed this show, let other people know what's going on. We're here every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9. We're giving you the news, views, and tools you can use to live a more free and prosperous life. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Live free, Austin.